As Kirk mentioned, in the month of October, we've been working our way through the short book of Jonah. Today we get to the end, the fourth chapter of Jonah, and this, I think, is where some explaining takes place. We see Jonah in the aftermath of preaching to Nineveh, and as we ended last week, we heard that God had changed his mind about what had been planned for Nineveh. And as we open now this final chapter, we see Jonah's reaction. Listen to these words and listen in them for God's word. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to prevent by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life. Better for me to die than live." The Lord asked, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in the shade, waiting to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant, making it grow over Jonah to give shade to his head and ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed through the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. He said, "It would be better for me to die than live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" He said, "It is. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." The Lord said, "You've been concerned about the plant, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left? And also many animals." The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Gracious God, in strange stories and human words, may we somehow, by the power of your Spirit, hear you speaking to us. In Christ we ask. Amen. So it's my opinion that Jonah chapter 4 clarifies the rest of the book. Chapter 1, we see that Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Chapter 3, we get the sense he doesn't work very hard once he's there. Chapter 4 fills in the gaps. As we ask, what's the deal with this guy that gets called a prophet but doesn't act like one? Jonah begins with strong words. There's some word stuff here I won't go into. I will tell you that in the first verse, the word is often translated evil, and the word angry in Hebrew literally means to burn or be on fire. So if we tried to read that verse literally, it would sound something like this: Jonah thought it was a great bitter evil, and he burned with anger. And now we begin to see Jonah's problem. He is furious. And we don't have to go far to see why. In verse 2, Jonah prays, "This is what I said at home. This is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew you were gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." And if you've hung around church very long, probably heard those words in a song or in a prayer, in liturgy. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You may not have known that those words come from a complaint. Those are not things Jonah is happy about. Jonah is angry at the nature of God. Jonah, who has disobeyed God, is angry that God has not destroyed the disobedient Ninevites. He burns with anger because God has been patient with his anger, and Jonah thinks God has gotten it wrong. He's mad because God has been gracious. Jonah is convinced that he knows better. He says, in other words, God, I knew this would happen. I knew if I got here, you'd find a way to forgive these people. That's why I ran away. And so offended and upset is Jonah that he says, take my life, God, I'd rather be dead than live. He doesn't want to live in a world where God forgives Jonah's enemies. Make no mistake, Jonah is not angry that God is good. Jonah is angry about who God is good to. At some point in any faith life, we find ourselves questioning the mystery of what God does. We encounter, as we seek to follow Christ, something bitter, something hard, something that we can't square with the love of God. It seems wrong to us, and it makes us ask some very difficult questions, but almost always, it's something bad that has happened to us or someone we care about. Jonah is not angry because something bad has happened to him. Jonah is angry because something good happened to someone else. He believes God got it wrong. God doesn't understand. God has made a mistake. Jonah believes he knows better than God what God should do and what God shouldn't do. And the next scene in the book is a strange one. Jonah goes east of the city. He has a shelter where he sits and watches what would become of the city, likely hoping to see its destruction. And this is where the book gets a little weird, even by Jonah's standards. It says God provided, the word means appointed, he assigned a plant. And the word plant is unusual. It's an uncertain word, and our best guess is the castor oil plant. And if you've ever had to deal with castor oil, it's appropriate for Jonah. Whatever the plant, the text says that God put it above Jonah. He made it go over him to provide shade, to ease his miserably, presumably from the sun beating on his head and his back. And Jonah, it says, in contrast to the rest of the book, was very happy about the plant. The word in Hebrew says he rejoiced and was glad. And God provides again, this time a worm. We always prefer when God provides comfort, but sometimes God provides through discomfort. And the worm chewed the vine, the plant. The word here is attacked. And actually, if you grew up with the King James Bible, the best translation is the old word smite. It's used about 500 times in the Old Testament, almost always for when God attacks and destroys enemies. The worm smites the plant. And the reason this matters is because this is what Jonah hoped to see as he looked down on the city. He wanted to see smiting. He wanted to see attacking. He wanted to see destruction. But not of his plant. Not of his shade. The worm does to Jonah's bush what Jonah wants God to do to the people. And when the bush is gone, so is Jonah's happiness. And back to form, he says, I'd rather die than live. And again, God asks, do you have a right to be angry, or are you right to be angry? And Jonah says, yes, I am. Angry enough to die. And here we learn that God set Jonah up. God says, Jonah, you cared about the vine. You didn't plant it, you didn't tend it, you didn't grow it, you had nothing to do with it. You cared about the vine, and you don't care at all about the 120,000 people in the city. Do you think I shouldn't care either? And that's where Jonah ends. One of the oddest endings in the Old Testament. Jonah angry at God, and God probably not real happy with Jonah either. Some suggest that the open ending is meant to leave us wondering, what happened next? We're left to wonder if Jonah ever got it. And maybe that's true. But I'm going to tell you this, Jonah never got it. I think it's open-ended because what else are you going to say? Jonah hates his enemies. And he hates that God doesn't hate them. Jonah rejoices when small good things happen for him, but he's angry and disappointed when bad things don't happen to them. Jonah is bitter and angry, and he is sure that God gets it wrong by caring about people that he doesn't. Jonah is grateful to be delivered by grace when he's in the fish and when he's in under the bush, but he's angry when that grace extends to people he doesn't like. Jonah's fine with God being good to him, but not to them. Jonah's on board when people he hates get what they deserve, unless it's a second chance. And then God's got it wrong. I'll be honest, I don't like Jonah. Not the book. I like the book. I don't like the person. I've met him a few times through the years. I didn't enjoy it. I heard him say things like, they deserve AIDS, or famine, or disease, or death. I've heard him say about people, they're going to hell. And he seemed happy about it. If I had to guess what happened to Jonah, I'd say he's still sitting there, pouting, complaining, convinced he's right. I don't like him. I'm glad the whale swallowed him. I'm glad the worm ate his bush. I'm glad the sun cooked him. He deserved it. Which makes me realize I don't like him because I am him. I often think my agenda should set God's agenda. I often think that I should get to set limits on God's grace, on God's forgiveness. I often think that God should get my pre-approval for what he is or isn't going to do. God should be angry at the people I'm angry with, and he should stay angry at them as long as I do. As long as I refuse to forgive them, he shouldn't either. In fact, he should smite them, preferably soon. We all like God's goodness when it's pointed at us. What about when it goes to those we don't think deserve it? As if we do. Those who offend us, who anger us, those we disagree with or disapprove of, maybe even with reasons. Those who have hurt or offended us. Those we believe should get punished, not pardoned. Then what? Maybe you saw earlier this month in Dallas a white female police officer with some sketchy Twitter history walked into a wrong apartment distracted by a phone call. Thinking she was in her own apartment, she saw a black man on the couch and she shot and killed him. She was tried, she was convicted, she was found guilty of murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years in prison in a loaded and politically volatile case. And after the sentencing, the brother of the victim approached her in the courtroom and asked if he could hug her. And as he embraced her, he said, and I quote, "I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you." And for nearly a minute in the courtroom, they embraced one another as a rather stunning example of forgiveness and faith and graciousness. And you'd think that would be the end of the story, but believe it or not, this man faced some criticism. He shouldn't have hugged her. She doesn't deserve it. What he did condones racism. She's guilty. You have to wonder, how can you look upon a moment of profound human compassion, of incredible faith, true graciousness, and be upset about it? Jonah knows. You just have to see the recipient as someone who doesn't deserve it. You just have to think of yourself as someone who does. Turns out it's pretty easy to do. Maybe Jonah is left open-ended because the author wants us to leave the book not wanting to be like Jonah. A man who runs from God, hates his enemies, is grateful for his own deliverance, angry about theirs. He believes he deserves grace, but they should get what's coming to them. And he celebrates the momentary pleasures of his own life, denying the possibility of new life in others. A man who sits on the sidelines, second-guessing, complaining, bitter, and angry. Jonah has it all figured out. Not even God measures up. And maybe while we've argued over the history of this book, the whale, the worms, what kind of bush, and what happened next, we risk missing the simple, sharp point of the book. Jonah leaves us proclaiming that God is gracious and compassionate and kind and patient. And God loves people that you and I don't. So the book ultimately asks us, what will you do with that?